Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today is another day for us to delve on the word of God. I use this opportunity to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's kindly move to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read from verse 5. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Lord, may you add your blessing to this word. Grant us understanding. May your inspiration be upon this word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, we want to actually continue on the topic that we actually started on Monday, which is speak to the rock. But for today, we want to look at it in the scope of lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, from what we have read, it makes us understand that one way or the other, you can lean on your own understanding. But the question that has to be asked is that the perfect will of God? Now, there are a lot of things that people may do that shows that they have leaned on their own understanding. Now, if we actually understood from the story of Moses, when Jesus Christ, when God asked him to speak to the rock, though in the later development, he came to use a rod to hit that rock, and the water came out all right. But when we actually look at the verdict that God gave on that, you will see that though the water came out all right, but Moses was told that his eyes will actually watch a Canaan, but his feet will not touch that land. So you see that in some way or the other, your own way of understanding might actually work through. But the question is that the perfect will of God? Now, there are a lot of things that man could do that shows that man has leaned on his own understanding. In the message, when we, look at the various views that men are holding, you will see that one way or the other, we have actually relegated the word of God in some way, which must not be so. And that's why if you read in the book of actually Romans, it said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." That word alone should actually give us the edge that the word of God must be seen as the ultimate that man can draw a lot of things from. When we look at actually the message in this a period that we have found ourselves, we have to understand that the message books are there to enlighten you. But this everything that we read must be verified in the scriptures. And that's why the Bible says that rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman that must not be ashamed. So God's word should be the ultimate thing, because we don't have to lean on our own understanding. God doesn't need our way to it, or he doesn't need how we actually want to go by it. We have to go by God's own approach. How God actually wants us to go is very important. So the only way that we can say that we are not leaning on our own understanding is by understanding it the way the word of God is saying. Now, the word that we have actually received is not only in word alone, but is in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hallelujah. So the word that we believe is not only in word alone. It's not actually something that we say that we have placed it on our mouth and we are just actually reciting some words. No. It should come with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Today, in the last day, you will see that people are ever learning, but they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. People are ever learning. They, you know, actually get some stuff. We tend to know, you know, show that kind of attitude of know it all. But when the Spirit of God is really present and we come to a realization of ourselves, our own thinking must be done away. There should be that kind of selflessness whereby we look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, and that is who? Jesus Christ. We look unto him because our knowledge is finite, but his is infinite. A mortal being, a flesh and blood can never inherit the kingdom of God. So when we understand it actually that way, our own thinking and how our strategies in the flesh work must be done away and take God's own protocol. One thing I have actually studied about Moses, when God called him and he had a work actually for him to do. Moses, who learned even under the, you know, the auspices of the Egyptians. When God actually wanted to use him, God took away all those things for about 40 years before actually Moses could do whatever God had assigned him to do. So God doesn't want any flesh of us to do what he actually wants us to do. So we have to, you know, be led by the Holy Spirit and do what exactly God actually wants us to do. Now, when we look at the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was one thing that he have used to actually counter the devil. Anytime the devil try to, you know, attack him, or anytime there was a temptation, even when we read in the gospel, when Satan took Jesus Christ to the pinnacle and he was trying to actually counter him in that temptation, the weapon Jesus Christ used was, it is written. And all these things were actually running through the mind. And the devil was trying to, you know, also quote the word of God, but without the revelation of the word. But Jesus Christ also used, it is written. So, brother, sister, it is the word of God. What God has placed in us. And that is what we can use as a tool to counter what the enemy has actually plotted. Now, when we also look at that, you see, Willie Branham preached a message, the ever greatest battle that was ever fought was through the mind. The mind is actually something that when we look at the battlefield, it all starts from the mind. And that's why the Bible says that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of what? Darkness, casting down imaginations and every height that exalts itself above Christ. So you will see that the mind is actually the battlefield. And when the devil is able to capture the mind, then it walks down to the heart. And there the utterance comes. So, brother, sister, the Bible made us understand actually something that For it's out of the heart. If you read Matthew chapter 15, let's read Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. You read verse 18 to 19. The Bible says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defile not a man. So this makes us understand why men are doing what they are doing, and why people are speaking what they are actually speaking. So the whole thing actually begins from the heart. And that is why God is always on the heart, because it is in the heart that the throne of God actually must sit. It is in the heart that, the soul actually resides. And for that matter, the Holy Ghost must have a dwelling in the heart. It is in the heart. Hallelujah. Because when we even read Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it said, as a man thinketh in the heart, so is he. So the thinking, how we think, the thought, how it flows, it is emanating from the heart. So it is the heart that we must pray that the Lord should teach our heart even how to utter in the presence of God. So it is in the heart that all these kind of issues of life actually transpire. When the heart is full of understanding, hallelujah, a heart that is full of understanding, the Bible says that for wisdom dwelleth in the heart of what? A man of what? Understanding. So it is in the heart that God sits. And for that matter, it is in the heart that a man can really utter what they are actually what? Uttering. Now, if I also look at the Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'll read from verse 35. The Bible says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret. No. Sorry for that. It's Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. It said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. Now, if you read the verse 34, it said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Hallelujah. And he said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of what? Judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? Condemned. So it is out of the heart. It's very important. The Bible made us actually understand how can an evil person or someone who being evil speak good things. But the Bible said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth actually speaks. So, believers, we have to guard our heart. Guard our heart as to what to actually come out. Because the Bible says that folly is found in the mouth of the foolish. So it is out of the heart. Even when a person who even actually doesn't speak, we regard that person as more wise. Hallelujah. So by how we speak and how the heart utters through actually the mouth, that we get to know who really actually that person is, even in the natural. And how much more? And that's why the Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give even what account of it. So it is in the heart, hallelujah, the heart which actually retains actually the words and brings out through the mouth. But all actually boils down to who that person really is. And that's why the Bible says that a good man out of a good treasure of the heart. A good man. Because a good man is a good tree. And every good tree will actually bring forth a good fruit. Now, to actually bring it to a climax actually this morning, when we look at all what we are saying, it's all about we living the word of God. You may have a form of actually godliness, but the question is, that form of godliness, is it with the power of God? Because the Bible made us understand that in the last day, and many will have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And that power is the truth. Living the word of God is the truth. So it's not just actually what we say and we actually leave it there, but it's about we abiding by the word of God. So the words that we are saying, we have to live them. It is by living it that makes us who really are what we are. So the word of God, as God has actually placed it on our mouth, let's be actually be reminded that we have to live actually that way. We have to walk in the word. We have to live it, live by it. Hallelujah. It is by actually living by it that makes it true sons and daughters of God. I will actually commence it with Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 verse actually 21. And the Bible actually made us understand that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of what? Iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto what? A wise man which built his house upon a rock. Upon a rock. So, brethren, we have to understand that the time has come for us to depend solely on this rock. And this rock is the I am. I am that I am. May God bless you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.